Nako Takina Wankerio. That's almost the extent of my Ikiribus language. But what that means is go preach the gospel. And in reference to Mark 16, verse 15. Now, the image there is a coconut. And it's a coconut drifting in the Pacific. And it made me think, as I was preparing for this lesson, how insignificant a coconut is in the Pacific Ocean, or any ocean for that matter. But when you think of the island nations that are scattered around the Pacific Islands, I think there's some 30,000 islands, approximately 20 million people across all those islands. And yet some of those islands are pretty insignificant. There is no reason any of you want to go to Tarawa. And as I learned when I got there, my emphasis was on the wrong syllable. It's Tarawa. But anyway, Tarawa was the site of one of the World War II battles where about 3,000 Marines gave the ultimate sacrifice. And aside from that, in the fishing around it, there's just no reason to go there. But you've heard Robert Martin teach in this auditorium many times. And I don't know that Robert was the first, but I believe he was. But he and Mary and those that worked with Robert throughout the last 43 years have been across the Pacific Islands teaching the gospel. As insignificant as they are, those islands are today populated with Christians. And they're Christians that believe just as you and I do. And it was a great blessing for me to be with these people. Humble people, poor people, but I told them time and again as I was teaching with them that I'm not a stranger here. You're not strangers to me because we study God's Word together. So anyway, I want to talk to you tonight just briefly about my experiences there with Robert, only Robert didn't exactly get there on time. So where is Tarawa? Well, Tarawa is part of the island nation of Kiribati. And it's another one of these linguistic things, but Kiribati is spelled Kiribati. And just like I before E, except after C, the T-I in a sentence is pronounced as an S some of the time. So it's a confusing language. But Kiribati is spread both on the north and south part of the equator, all the way from tomorrow's side of the international date line to today's side. Only if you ever look at the international date line, you'll find it actually makes a big jog so that all the nation of Kiribati is in the same time zone, even though they're not really. But anyway, Tarawa is the capital of Kiribati, and that's not saying much. Also, Christmas Island is a part of Kiribati, and that's a little bit more famous for some things, but not anything that a lot of people know about. There's about 300 islands, or 33 island groups in this. All but one of them are what's called coral atolls. And think of a volcano with the top whopped off of it, and then the earth moved up and exposed the coral ring around the volcano. That's what an atoll is. And so Tarawa is way up here, just above the equator, and not much around there. So how do you get there? And I put in back because there was a little bit of fun in getting back. Well, traveling to the Pacific isn't for the faint-hearted. The one-way trip was about 9,200 miles, and it took 46 hours of travel time. Vertical time, because I didn't lay down that whole time. Took that long to get there. And I also highlighted another route in yellow. So the plan was for Robert and I to meet up in Nandi in Fiji. Well, as plans go, Robert started out in Christmas Island, and the aircraft that he was on's radar went out. And you don't just go to Radar's RS down the street in Christmas Island. So they had to fly another one in from somewhere else, install it on the plane, check it out. Well, by and large, he missed the flight. So I went on from Nandi to Tarawa by myself, which is not a big deal, in hopes that Robert would make the next regularly scheduled flight, which in the Pacific Islands isn't tomorrow. There are two flights a week that go to Tarawa. And I'll tell you an experience about the getting back in a few minutes. But this is the congregation in Tarawa. And I don't know how many people really are in the congregation, because it's hard to associate the numbers with the people that are all on one side of the or one end of the island chain to the other, and they can't all be together at the same time. Transportation is very difficult, as I'll show you. But what wonderful people they are. That's the building that they meet in. Fairly modern by standards in the Pacific Islands. And it's by the work of Robert and others that supported him to go from a thatched building with a dirt floor to this building with brick walls, tin roof. And most recently, they added the screens in the windows. And the screen's not to keep people out. Just keep the rats and the dogs and the cats and the chickens and the pigs out of the building most of the time. So this is a wonderful Bible classroom, wouldn't you think? This is where the children have their Bible class. And this building that they're in, and I wouldn't call it a building, it's the thatched roof place that they're in, is actually right next to the ocean. And I'll show you a picture in just a moment. This is where the caretaker lives for the congregation. And he's also a preacher there, but not a formal title of a preacher. But in Tarawa, you have to live on the property or have someone living on the property, or there can be problems associated with that. These children are wonderful. I've got some recordings of them singing, some of the most enthusiastic singing I've ever seen. And they are children, and they are children just like ours. They're energetic and happy and love to play. And that's the teacher, Raketi, there. Raketi is the daughter of the first person that was ever baptized in Tarawa. Her father is now deceased, and she's a faithful Christian woman and a faithful Christian husband, two children. And I think she's in her mid to late 20s, and she's studying to be a teacher at the teacher school there. But she teaches all the children, and from what I was experienced while I was there, she did a wonderful job teaching them. And later on, I'd like to ask for some help to prepare some Bible materials for them, just like we did for those in Funafuti, Tuvalu, not too long ago. Because printed materials deteriorate fairly quickly in the heat and humidity of the Pacific Islands. Heat, humidity, bugs, roaches, and rats. So anyway, those children need some Bible materials to help, and I think we can all take a part of that. But what a wonderful group of kids. They are always loving to get their pictures taken, and no matter what time of day or night. And they love to see their photograph too on my camera. So we had a blast with the kids. Now, this is the inside of the building, and you notice the inside of the building is missing a few things, right? There's no furniture at all in there. So everyone in this nation pretty much sits on the floor. And in this case, the brethren were able to get enough money to put down a layer of linoleum. Vinyl is really what it is. And that's just so it's easy to clean, but underneath it's just hard concrete. And that concrete in that nation is hard and rough. It's not the nice, smooth concrete like we have. I see Dan laughing because he sat on it. And I didn't put the photograph in here, but I was teaching the class in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And we taught every night for 2 hours a night from 7 to 9 o'clock, or 7 to 9:30, or 7:20 to 9:40, or whatever happens to be, because transportation is not too reliable there. But anyway, in that 2 hours, people travel from all over the island group to get there, where there is a road. There's also a part of the island group, which is the largest part of the island group, that is not connected by a road. And to get there, you have to wait for the right tide, and you have to wait for a boat to carry you back and forth. It's So there are Christians on some of those out islands, but they're not able to be in a study like this constantly. So we have a lot of things to be blessed for, or blessings that we have. Also, this is a tin roof, which is nice, but man, is it hot. And Tarawa, being on the equator, is a very hot and humid place. While we were there, we had some monsoon-type rains, which is very unusual for Tarawa. Their water supply is from a limited area on one island. And I should have put the picture in here, but while it was raining, people took great advantage of all the rain. And I caught a group of boys sitting out in the middle of a little roundabout, all lathered up, taking a shower out in the middle of the street. But anyway, it's hot, a lot of bugs, and some interesting things can happen. So I talked about transportation. There's one road on the island of Tarawa. It runs from Baseo, which is the island where the great battle took place, and it's connected through a series of causeways to each of the islands, but it only goes about a third of the island group. And the last bridge that I was crossed when I was there was literally falling apart. So that upper part of the islands you can only get to by boat, and that's one of the boats. So it's not a big luxury air-conditioned boat. The people actually sit on top of it, and their dry goods or damp goods get put inside the hull. And that's a catamaran-type boat, or an outrigger boat. But most of the people get around through trucks like this, or sometimes there's a van that will pick people up and drop them off from here and there. And as a congregation, we had to hire these trucks to come and get the people. And I'm amazed that these trucks have any rubber on the tires, because the ground is so rough there, it chews the tires up. So one case, we had a group of people come for the evening in the bus. The bus had a flat tire as it was getting in, and he couldn't take them back. And that was the night it rained cats and dogs. So those people were there in the building. And between myself and we flagged another truck down, we had to deliver them back to their homes that evening. But the individuals, the Christians there, piled in these trucks or buses or walked day and night, rain or shine, and they were at the building every time we had a service. Now, there were some that were just too far away and couldn't get transportation. And unfortunately, at the end, we were able to get them there. But I'm telling you, they are dedicated. It's not the threat of a storm. It's not the climate. It doesn't matter what's going on. They are going to come with every human possibility that they have. Now, this is the lineup for your children's names, if any of you are expecting children in the near future. And looking at the names is one thing. Hearing them and trying to translate what it is another altogether. And that was quite a challenge for me. But you see a lot of Bible names there. Bonabati. Remember the T-I at the end is an S? That's Bonabas or Barnabas. There's a couple others. I don't think they're on here. Tabanetti is Tabits. Tabanes, which is Tabitha from the Bible. And she, by the way, is one of the very faithful women in the congregation there. But anyway, their language, the names, the customs are very different. That's Brother Robert preaching along with Tabira. Tabira was the caretaker there and also the translator for us. Did a wonderful job translating. And do you notice anything about Robert? He's wearing my shirt. The reason he's wearing my shirt is because he finally arrived about 8 days after I did without his luggage. And the whole time we were there, he never got his luggage. So we were sharing shirts, and not everything, but shirts. But Tabir was a great translator, and he's really one of the pillars in the congregation there to help get things done. I want to mention one other thing, that there's a lot of disease in these islands. It's not the communicable disease, but disease of diet, if you would. There's a lot of, the kidney disease. But anyway, diabetes, I'm sorry. And it's advanced diabetes. So some people have strokes as a result of it. There's two members of the church, both faithful Christians, that have had strokes and survived, but they're completely paralyzed on one side of their body. And even so, Brother Wawia, who is probably 70 years old, was there every single night. And again, they don't let anything keep them from hearing God's word. So what else did we do? I mentioned we taught 2 hours a night for every night that we were there, which is about 14 days. We went around the island to different things. This happens to be a place where you could get printing done. We were printing some leaflets for the church to hand out, and also some of our test lessons. And you notice the dust on everything all over the island. Everything's covered with coral dust, because when it's dry there, it's nothing but coral rock. There's no topsoil at all, and it takes a toll on equipment. We're also meeting with a number of people in the island or on the islands that are involved with the church in one way or another. This just happens to be a negotiation. This lady had gotten permission from someone to build on the church's property. And that's a problem all over Tarawa with people just building anywhere they want. And we were negotiating with her to help her move her building back off the property so that they could build another place, meeting place on our property. And I got to hand it to you that Brother Robert is a champion negotiator, no matter what the culture or what the language. He treated that woman with such respect and kindness that she gladly agreed to have our brethren move the building for her. Now, we're talking about moving a few poles, and this is her house. One room, kitchen, dining room, you know, den, you name it. It's all in that one building. And it's nothing but, she doesn't even have concrete, just tin and chicken wire. So that's typical of the island's lifestyle. Also, there's a house-to-house, heart-to-heart issue that's going to be printed in the Akiribus language for an article that Tabira and Robert were writing. And that's going to be distributed throughout the island of Tarawa. So they were working on that. And you can see the church building in the background. Oops, excuse me. And this is Brother Tata Wawia, who is paralyzed on one side. He's the oldest member of the congregation there, and very wise and very humble man. And he can quote scripture left and right in English. So he's a wonderful person. This is his wife and his family. So we went around visiting many of the people in the congregation to encourage them. And as you can see, he lives in a pandanus thatch roof, which, by the way, I'll take that over tin roof any day because it's a lot cooler. This is another lady. Her husband is paralyzed as well. She makes a living for the two of them knitting. And I have that beautiful little knitting thing that we brought back. I'm not sure what to call it, but it's a little outfit. But anyways, wonderful lady and very faithful. And all of these people have their extended families living with them, sometimes all in one room, like this one. This is another faithful Christian lady whose husband has passed away. And that's her son on the left, and grandchildren, and daughter-in-law. I wanted to say something that Robert would never say to you. And please don't tell him I said this. Wherever I have been in the Pacific Islands, the people of the church love Robert and Mary Martin. They love them as brother and sister. And I mean love them. Robert means so much to them, and they don't treat him like a god. Don't get me wrong here. Because he's come and he's taught them. They've been baptized. Their life has changed. But it didn't stop there. Robert and Mary and others that teach with Robert, including Dan and others, go back. They strengthen them and edify them and build them up. And that's part of what we do on these trips to the South Pacific. Or to the Pacific. And that's what was being done here. And guess what his name is? It's Robert. There are people all over these islands, and each one that I've been to, named Robert and Mary and Maria, in their various language. Robert can be Robus, it can be Rapati in Samoa, and even just plain old Robert. But anyway, he's unfaithful, and we were there to study with him. And this is another one. That's Mary. Mary is the would have been the granddaughter of the man that Robert first baptized in Tarawa, that beautiful little girl. And Robert loves those kids too. And I'm telling you, he's a character to be with. And I got a kick out of the kids too. They all love to get their picture taken. And this little guy's name is Barnabas. And he didn't take that Spider-Man outfit off the whole time he was there. And he had other clothes, and I saw his mom washing him one day with a bucket of water. But anyway, good kid. I told you about some things are comical in these congregations. We have a closed building, air-conditioned, padded pews. In those nations, there's no telling what's going to happen. In this case, one of the dogs wandered in there, and we had to haul him out. I was teaching one night, and there's a lot of gecko lizards around. You know, the green ones? And, you know, they don't bother me or anything. But I was sitting there teaching, and all of a sudden, on top of my head, and I just brushed it off, and there was a gecko lizard running off. So, and chickens and pigs, you hear them squealing and fussing outside, and dogs fighting, and all kinds of stuff. So there's all kinds of distractions. So this is Tibera and his family, and the little monkey there is named Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo is his son, and that's a photograph of Yo-Yo using a bucket to get water out of a well. And I won't go into too much detail about it, but the well is only about from here to the sound booth away from the latrine. And so that's not good drinking water. And typically they don't drink it, but they'll use it to wash with. But that's kind of the conditions they live in. And I mentioned that their house, which is right adjacent to the church building, is right on the ocean. So this is the wall, seawall, and this is low tide. And there they are standing right on that seawall and when I was taking the picture outwards. So I wanted to say this about that. On one Sunday, there was a young woman that had been attending and been studying, and she wanted to get baptized. And unfortunately, at the time, the tide looked like that. And that's a steep drop off on the other end. It's not gradual. So they had to wait for the tide to come in. And unfortunately, I didn't get to witness it at the time, but she was baptized later that night when the tide came in. Again, all the visiting we did with the people, this is a Sunday morning service. You can see the people are dressed up a little bit more. Great people. Now, this is how most of the people in Tarawa live. You see the thatched houses. That's made from the pandanus leaf, which is a very sturdy and lasts for a long time in the heat and sun. There's a two-story for you. And chickens and pigs all over the place because they use it for food, obviously, and that's a source of income. It's an oceanfront view, and I'm telling you, the heat is, there is a siesta time in Tarawa. So in the heat of the day, being on the equator, you don't get out and work unless you absolutely have to. And there's a two-story oceanfront view that could be had for probably $20. But anyway, that's how folks live. And that's another one where one of the brothers lived in. You see the mosquito net there and the pig in the background. So these people really work hard just to live. There's not much income there from anything but working for the government or the general buying and selling of things, which could be coconuts or coconut milk or the tati that comes from the coconut den and fish and just general distribution. So I mentioned about coming back home, and I said coming back is really getting home. Because when we landed, I was on the last flight inbound, except for Robert's flight. And that's because the country of Kiribati had not been keeping the airport in a condition that allowed Fiji Airways to be insured. So that means they weren't going to land anymore. So their fire truck, their approach lights, the fence around the runway, keep the dogs and cats and pigs off and people, and a lot of other things just weren't working. So they gave them 2 weeks to get it fixed. Well, in the midst of the 2 weeks, there was also a cyclone that went through Fiji, where this plane comes from. So the flight inbound was canceled. Our flight, we didn't know if we were going to get out, except by an alternate route through the Marshall Islands, which would have cost probably about $5,000 or $6,000 to get home. So the Lord answered prayers again, and the inbound flight that we left on a Saturday was only 2 days late. And on it were the inspectors for inspecting the airport to tell us or tell them whether or not they'll keep flying. Well, we got on the plane after 3 hours of inspections, and we talked to that gentleman right there, and he said, well, we'll just have to see. But I think they're flying because I didn't see any more press about it. But on an island like this, this is the runway, the ocean to ocean. So on one side is the Pacific Ocean, and the opposite side is the lagoon. And as you can see, there's not much room for error there. So I'm glad that they were concerned about it. And again, this is a picture of one little part of the islands of Taro. This is Baseo, where the World War II battle was. And you can see they're not really attached by land, just these little causeways. And that road goes from here to over here for about 40 miles maybe. And it is a poor road. So I'd like to sing one song. And this was a song that Brother Tata, one night when I was taking him home in the pouring rain, we had 10 people in this little dinky car. The windshield wipers were gone. It was dark. I couldn't see where I was going. And he starts singing the song. So you're going to recognize it when we sing it. So go ahead. I think it's the next slide. Nope, I got it. Sorry. So we'll just sing that. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into me, I do want to thank the elders and for each of you for your support of Robert and for the support that you give us as an opportunity to go to places like this. And if you've ever thought about going, please give it a hard consideration because it will change your life and it will enrich your life. And these people need you. And as I told them there, that I would tell my congregation when I came back, that you are praying for them as well. They have their struggles, just like all of us, but they are faithful and they are working hard to be faithful to the Lord.